The word of God, when we come before God's word and we read his word and when we bow before the Lord in prayer, that God is working. And if there are inconsistencies between what we do and what we say, God is going to bring them out. And see, that's why some people don't want to get into the word of God. That's why they don't want to be exposed to the word of God, because they don't want to be confronted with their issues. They don't want to be convicted by the fact that they are hypocrites.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, pastor of Bethany Baptist Church and founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. Thanking you for joining us today for the first half of It Ain't Hip to Crit. Before we begin our message today, we've been offering a book entitled Touched by the Breath of God. It's a book that I have written, and it answers how we got the Bible, manuscripts used to support the Bible. Has somebody tampered with the Bible? Are there lost books of the Bible? Are there mistakes in the Bible? Contradictions in the Bible? We deal with that and much, much more in this book, Touched by the Breath of God. So if you want a copy, contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus Ministries, and we'll let you know how you can get a copy of the book, Touched by the Breath of God. Now join us for the first half of It Ain't Hip to Crit.
John chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, testing him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up, and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. As we read this passage this morning, there is an elephant in the room. And we could go on with the message, and we could ignore the elephant that's in the room. But we don't want to ignore the elephant. So we're going to deal with the elephant. A lot of people wouldn't deal with the elephant. They would just go right on and preach the sermon. But I want to be a minister of integrity as far as the word of God is concerned. So we want to deal with the elephant that's in the room. So the elephant that's in the room is the fact that this passage, John chapter 7, verse 53 through 8:11, we have 8:12, but it's actually 8:11. This is called the passage on adultery. Theologians call this passage, because it's kind of troublesome, they call it the precope adulterate, which actually is the passage on adultery. All right, but here's the problem. The problem is that there is strong evidence suggesting that this passage was not a part of John's manuscript. And so as we share that this morning, I want to let you know that. As a matter of fact, if you go to the next slide, all depends what Bible you have. So if you are here this morning with the NIV, the New American Standard, the ESV, or the CEV, you will see these acknowledgments in your Bibles. All right? The NIV, it will say this: the earliest manuscripts and many other ancient witnesses do not have John 7:53 through 8:11. The New American Standard, which I know many of you use on a Sunday morning, has this: later manuscripts add the story of the adulterous woman, numbering it as John 7:53 through 8:11. The English Standard Version says this: the earliest manuscripts do not include 8:53 through 8:11. And then the Common English Version says that verses 1 through 11 are not in some manuscripts. So, you know, I could, stand up here and preach this sermon, and then some of you would be sitting there with one of these translations, and you'll ask me, you know, why is this footnote in here? You know, why is this acknowledging that this passage was probably not a part of John's gospel? And so, I would love to sit down. You know, I love dialoguing with people theologically. So if you want to set up a time to come and meet, we could talk about strong evidence why this probably was not a part of John's gospel. All right, very strong evidence as to why it wasn't. But as we move on, again, to give integrity to the process, you know, in preparation for the sermon, I study a lot of commentaries, right? And so there was one commentary, well-noted commentary, didn't even make any commentary on this passage. It just went right past it to the next verses. But how do we deal with this? You know, and this is kind of an apologetic issue too, so, you know, we want to deal with that. So we want to get the elephant out of the room right now. And that is, if you go to the next slide, first of all, this was an historical account in the life of Christ. All right? So it wasn't anything that was fabricated. It was a historical account in the life of Christ. Now, you may remember, and we talked about this, you're early on in the Gospel of John. See, and this is the problem sometimes when you preach expository, right? When you go verse by verse through a book, because then you come to places like this, and you got to either deal with it or just breeze on by. But we talked about John 21 and verse 25, and remember, let me read it. Many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So Jesus did a lot of things that didn't get written down. And so this was one of those things that he did that John didn't record. And then we go on to see that it does not teach anything that's contrary to the rest of Scripture. And then as we study the message this morning, we're going to see that it reinforces the loving and forgiving nature of Jesus Christ. So with the dealing with the elephant, let's move on with the message. The subject of the message this morning is hypocrisy. And that's what we're going to see in this passage today. And so, you know, I titled my message, and some of you may have heard a song years ago. You know, it talked about hypocrisy. And there was a line in the song that said, excuse my English, right? Excuse my English. It ain't hip to crit, right? So that means it's not hip to be in God's kingdom. It's not hip to crit. It's not hip to be a person of hypocrisy. And so that's what we see in our passage this morning. And when we look at the word hypocrite, all right, very interesting word. It comes from two Greek words, which actually means to interpret underneath. To interpret underneath. That's what the word hypocrite means. So how does that translate into, you know, how we see things today? Well, in Greek theater, there were these actors, and they wore masks, and they interpreted the storyline underneath the mask. And they were called Hippocrates, all right? And so that is the formulation of the word, an actor who interprets the story from underneath a mask. And eventually it came to mean wearing a mask and pretending to be something that you're not. So these people in Greek theater, whenever they wore these masks, they were pretending to be somebody that they were not. And when we, you know, look at our lives, you know, sometimes we wear masks. And we wear a mask in front of other people. You know, all depends who we're in front of. As you know, we probably got in the trunk of our car, you know, we probably have about 4 or 5 masks, and it all depends where you're going, you know, which mask you pull out, right? And you pull out that mask, and you wear that mask to whatever function or meeting, whatever you might have to do. Now, the problem with wearing masks is this. So let me give this story. And I'll tell you the problem with wearing masks, the problem with being a hypocrite. And this is really a danger, right? The story is told of a man who grew up in this village, and he had a deformed face. And, you know, he lived in the village, and people kind of shunned him, and, you know, some of the kids would make fun of him. And when he grew up and became an adult, he figured that he would start a new life and move to another village. And so he started... he moved to this other village, and he got a mask because he wanted to hide his face from the other people. And when he got there, even though he had the mask, people loved him. They loved the guy. And as a matter of fact, he met a lady and became engaged, and she became his fiance. And so as time went on, before he got married, there was a mean lady from the village where he grew up. And she knew about his face. And she said that, you know, I'm going to expose you, you know, to everybody. And they're going to know exactly how you look. And, you know, the guy thought that, you know, that was cruel and mean. And so anyhow, the day came, and she brought his fiance and all the village. And they came to this guy, and he took off his mask. And he was one of the most handsome guys that you ever wanted to see. All those years of wearing the mask, his face conformed to the image of the mask. And I'm here to say today that some of God's people who are hypocrites, that I'm going to say those of us, we's, right, us'n, you know, that have done that. You know, the danger is that when we become a hypocrite and we, you know, put on these masks, is that, you know, we begin to conform to the mask that we are wearing. And so Jesus has a stark warning for us today as he dealt with a group of hypocrites. Hypocrite, right? A person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. A person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs. I have something that I would like to read right now. And it's talking about an individual. And it said, he made free use of Christian vocabulary. He talked about the blessing of the Almighty and the Christian confessions, which would become the pillars of a new government. He assumed the earnestness of a man weighted down by historic responsibility. He handed out pious stories to the press, especially to church papers. He showed his tattered Bible and declared that he drew the strength for his great work from scores of religious people, and they welcomed him as a man sent from God. Anybody know who that was? Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler. What a mask did he wear, right? Until he got to the point where he could take it off and really unveil who he was. And so There are a lot of people in government, in business, in sports, that we have hypocrites everywhere. We have people that are wearing masks everywhere. There was a song by a group, and I love this group, old group called Tower Power. And the name of the group, was the title of the song that they sang, "I can't stand to see the slaughter, but I still love to eat the meat." Look at the words. "I can't stand to see the slaughter, but still I eat the meat. I can't stand dishonest people, but still sometimes I cheat. I can't stand that air pollution, but still I drive a car. Maybe them's the reason why things are like they are." I'll be honest with you. There's a little hypocrisy in of us all, isn't it? I mean, we want to keep it controlled, but there is a little hypocrisy in us all. I don't want to sit and watch a cow be slaughtered. I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to witness how they take the life of a cow. And you know, some people, well, let me say this. I don't want to see it, right? Sure, I love me a good T-bone. Wow. Can't stand to see the slaughter, but I love to eat the meat. Right? Maybe that doesn't hit you, right? Maybe it doesn't hit. You can't stand dishonest people, but still, sometimes you cheat. Oh, I saw you at the grocery store when you bought those French fries, and you just had to take one and eat it as you. I can't stand dishonest people. Can't stand them. But still, sometimes I cheat. It's easy for me to condemn the other person, but when I'm doing something, that's not, maybe not quite as bad, right? And it's all right. Right? No, it's not all right. Right? So instead of you being a big hypocrite, we're little hypocrites. Right? A hypocrite is someone who conveniently forgets their faults to point out somebody else's. Right? They forget all about who they are because they want to point out somebody else's. Because you know the thing about it, we can see, we can see that we're better, right? I'm not that bad, right? Heard a story about two guys that robbed a bank in Texas. One wore a mask and the other one didn't. And after they robbed the bank, they both got caught, and they had to go before the judge. And the one guy that didn't wear the mask, he told the judge, he said, "I think you should be a little bit more lenient on me," he said, "because I didn't try to cover up who I was." So what was he saying? I'm a little better than the guy that's the outright garden variety hypocrite, right? The dog eat dog hypocrite. I'm better than him. I didn't wear a mask. Yeah, but you still did the same thing. And so a hypocrite is someone who conveniently forgets their faults to point out somebody else's faults. As we begin looking at the passage today, the first thing that we want to look at is the establishment of hypocrisy. The establishment of hypocrisy. And the scribes and the Pharisees, who claimed to be religious, yet Jesus told them in John 8:48 that they were children of the devil. So here they are, bringing this lady caught in the act of adultery. And as they bring her to accuse her of breaking the law, to accuse her of their own sin, yet and still in their hearts, they were children of the devil. And they supposedly were trying to do the work of God. Hypocrisy is established when you claim to be something, but your actions are not in accordance with your claims. Right? They claim to be religious people. They claim to serve God. They claim to have the word of God. They claim to follow the word of God. And yet and still, Jesus saw right through them. And he said that you are children of the devil. So a hypocrite is someone who claims to be one thing and their actions set them forth as something else. Let's look at John chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Now, to further elevate their hypocrisy. So first of all, let me ask you this question. How do you catch someone in the very act of adultery? Right? Were you peeping in the window? So that goes to show you that there was nefarious motives behind what they were even doing anyways. You know, because the chances are they didn't catch her in the act of adultery. They probably set something up, you know, to accuse her. Because here goes the other problem with this story, right? And the other problem, if you go to that next slide. The other problem, adultery in the law of Moses, it was forbidden by the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. But the other thing is that when people were taken in adultery, Leviticus 20:10 says that both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be brought and stoned. So here were these male chauvinists who just brought the lady. Right? So again, that's the height of hypocrisy. Why don't you bring the guy too? Somebody said, well, he was faster than the lady. He got away. Well, let me ask you this question, right? If you caught in the very act, we can snatch both of y'all up right then. And so, you know, it's easy to want to make accusations against somebody else, right? And we are the biggest hypocrites in the eyes of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of It Ain't Hip to Crit. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, It Ain't Hip to Crit, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request your copy of the message today. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request a copy of today's message. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I'd like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.